on the July 6th work coffee talk between myself and Commissioner Vice Mayor Sprinkle to order this morning at 9:07. Sarah, thanks.
Thank you, Steve.
No, this is cool. And you know what's really cool? And I know that I love having you up there. I do.
Well, I love having you up there.
Well, because you and I, we came in together, but I also know that you and I have similar, we disagree. I mean, it's funny, too, right? Because people don't understand how many times we do disagree, because we do disagree on things.
Sure. But well, we should. How old are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we get through them, right? We get through them.
Well, because it's not about us as people.
Them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're always there as a, you know, I love it. You just bring the heart to the commission.
Well, thank you, dear. I appreciate that.
And it's always, and I know that you get things done. I mean, you know, this thing you're working on now with the fields, and I just you're so reliable up there, so it's cool. So I'm just always so happy to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And so I'm doing these literally just to find out. I know you and I, you know, through the last 4 years, I kind of know where your head's at on things, but I'd love to talk to you about anything you want to accomplish, because I don't see this. I see this kind of as a you know, as a five-person team and not just me trying to get, you know, I read in that ridiculous thing that somebody wrote to me that I was just trying to express my will on everything. And I'm like, you can't do that. I'm just one of five votes.
But I didn't read that one. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, that was just an email I got during the campaign.
Oh, okay. You know,
that's all I wanted to do, so it's just so silly. But so I want to find out what everybody wants to do, and figured I'd, you know, see where you are. Like
okay, well, I made my long list.
Yeah, I know
you
have. There's no doodles on that yet, though.
Well, there will be by the time it's over. Okay. Well, I'll just tell you, I, first of all, I appreciate the chance to do this because we haven't done it before, yeah. And it gives me a chance to tell you in real, you know, concrete terms what my goals are.
Yep.
And I do have a couple first goals.
A couple first goals,
right. Those are first. These are secondary. Okay. So my two first goals is that we talk a lot about our city, and I was thinking about when I was walking down here this morning, and every time we talk about our city, we talk about, you know, how great Park Avenue is, we talk about our great lakes, and we talk about our parks, and I want us to always talk about our people. I want us to put people first. So if I had a goal that I could tell you that I want to leave a legacy for my time mm-hmm. as a commissioner, it would always be to think of people first. And what I think we do is we just assume that people think that way. But we need to give that assumption lip service.
Yeah.
So when we enter our city, I want us to think about how we care for each other. Instead of being a city of extraordinary cars or a city even of history and culture, I want a city that takes care of each other. So if I had something that I could do with my magic wand, that would be it. Okay. Now, what does that look like?
Yeah.
Okay, what does that, how do you exhibit that? How do you show that?
Yeah.
So some of the things that I want to tell you that are on my list of things to do would be that. So one of them is, and this is, you're going to have two things mixed in with my conversation today. One is processes that I still want to see us work on as a team and as a community and as a city. And then the outcomes of those processes that I think will say, the city of Winter Park cares for its people. So I have for a long time thought what it would be like to just have a city that's completely Wi-Fi oriented. Mm-hmm. So that we have a commission, a task force doing something mm-hmm. like that. We have somebody who's going to get back to us. Mm-hmm. So my secondary off the topic is I'm not sure where we are with that group. And that's probably how one of the things I want us to talk about as a commission. I know we have a Wi-Fi task force, and they're going to bring us some recommendations or something, but I don't want to ever start going to individual board meetings mm-hmm. or task force mm-hmm. meetings, only because I don't think that's not just the best use of my time, but I think when I go to those meetings, the people on those boards act a little different than when I'm not there. And I want them to be fully independent of me so that when it comes to me, I can make a decision.
Sure.
Okay? And I don't really need to know, I don't need to see the sausage made. I just mm-hmm. need to see it when it comes in front of me that I have the background that I need.
Okay.
So that's why I don't want to start going to Wi-Fi task force meetings. But I'm doing that with malice and forethought.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of those things that I know you care about mm-hmm. it. I know a lot of people care about it, but Where are we? Okay. Is there a barometer by which we keep a check on this?
I can give you an update. Wait till you're done with
it. That's one thing that I think will say, you know what? This city cares so much about the people and how they deal with each other. Look what they've done.
So getting a wireless city is extremely difficult, especially in a situation like this. There are big trees. Are a major issue for wireless hotspots and for all that. Also, where they normally put the repeaters is on telephone poles. Well, we're taking down all our telephone poles. You still have to have repeaters around. You can't just have this wireless thing. And you have to have them above everything so the signal gets out. I mean, I have a wireless signal in my house, right? When I go to the far end of my house, and you know my house is not big. You go to the far end of my house, and I don't really get the signal. I go on and off. So that's a major issue that we face. And the task force is called Wired for Winter Park. It's not about Wi-Fi. It's just kind of about technology. The task force kind of fell apart because it was very difficult to get these people together. Steve Goldman was on it. Steve was out on the West Coast a lot.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of young guys who were just starting their businesses. I've talked to them all individually. We've kind of just almost mothballed the thing, and it's just kind of gone away. But one of the things I'm committed to, and I agree with you, and you'll never get the speeds at Wi-Fi. And there's other challenges with Wi-Fi. One of the things we're looking at right now, and I've talked to Randy, and he's working on pricing for it, is to try to figure out what it would take to run cable through the city. Right. As we're laying underground electric, we run an extra conduit, and we run cable through it. Now, do we want to be in the... Run dark fiber, yeah. And the only difference, I don't know if you know, but you can run, they call it dark, they call it a dark line, they call it a dark
Anybody fiber. Can hook up to it, though.
Anybody can hook up to it.
Right.
But we've got to figure out what's on the other end of that. Okay, so...
Who's on the other end of that?
Well, either, I mean, does it come here? Does it come here, and this is where all the servers and everything are to get to control an internet for everybody? But that would be great. If we could run it as a utility, you can pay another couple bucks a month to have high-speed internet access to your house, and you're not controlled by the cable companies.
I think that would be a wonderful gift to our community.
I agree, and I think we can do it. Randy's working on the pricing. And again, as we are undergrounding...
Right. That's the whole thing, is put another conduit in there, because it is the future. To be able to come to a town and know that anywhere you are, you're going to be able to be connected.
And when I talked to Steve Jobs, I told you I interviewed with him 2001. He asked me a very interesting question. He said, who do you think my competition is? Because he was looking for a director of advertising worldwide, so I sat down with him. And I said, you know, you're probably going to think that I'm going to say IBM or Dell or Gateway or one of those. And I said, I think it's somebody like Sony. It's somebody who's trying to control the house, the way in the house. It's probably a cable company. He said, you're right. He said, you know, that's where everything's going to be. It's whoever controls the house is going to be able to deliver services. So that's why he was all the devices, all of his devices were learning to talk to one another. I mean, that's how he built that up. And I still think the way in the house, the cable, the line in the house is going to control everything. You can do everything out of that cable.
And that's the way I want us to look at it as a city, is that we're in the house, we're in the community. Instead of just thinking about going to your house in Park Grove and my house over here, how do we in this community stay connected? Because then you solve all kinds of other issues. You solve all the problems of, you know, what happens when there's a siren to go. I mean, all those things. You can then begin to have access to things that we can't access now. So I appreciate whatever it takes for us to push at least learning more and doing more, because this is the time to do it.
Well, it's a way to access information for education, too. I mean, as all this decentralization of everything comes online, as everything gets decentralized, learning, whatever it is, you're going to have everything coming into your house. And and Wi-Fi is never going to catch up. Well, I mean, who knows 100 years down the road, but speed-wise.
Right.
And you can start attracting really cool high-end businesses, because when they come here, when they come looking for a place to set up shop, do you guys have high-speed internet access?
Not only that, our whole community is connected.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody's connected, so you start recruiting. As they recruit people, well, come live in Winter Park, because we got, you know, it's one of those things, it's another asset to the community.
Well, that's what I see it as. And I also see it as a communication tool that people... We have no idea what the touch and what the eyes and whatever. We don't know. I know one thing. As we get older, we're not even going to be texting. I mean, we don't know what it's necessarily going to be. But just think about this. That's how I communicate with my kids.
I
don't even think about trying to call them, because they won't answer.
And the funny thing is, people really forget. This has not been around that long.
I know, but right. and I think about that,
yeah.
and as an educator, I'm always thinking about how difficult it is to educate people for the 21st century that we don't know what's going to be. But I do know it's not going to be what it is now.
You're right.
And so that speaks to some of the issues that are in front of us. So I'm glad that you're on top of mm-hmm. that you're working on that, and let's see what we can do with that. In the meantime, you have something like the library coming up, okay? The library ought to change when you have all of those kinds of accesses. Lots of services that we provide to our city could change with some of those things. So here's an example. When I come in, we've done a great job in this building. Mm-hmm. It no longer looks like a collection agency when you walk in downstairs, and that's to our advantage. Because
right.
I used to just hate walking in and seeing that. But I still look at that and say to myself, why do we spend all this money on people, which is the most expensive thing you can have, to take checks from people, when in fact I don't know anybody out there creating a system that does that? Everything is done automatically, and I want us to do that. I mean, I remember how much I fought just to get the ability to charge it to my credit card,
yeah.
and I realize there will always be a few people that have an issue. But I just helped Celebration Hospital open a child development center down there. They don't even think about cash.
Right.
I mean, nobody does. It is not in anybody's mind.
Right.
So why are we still doing it?
Why are we using the most valuable piece of real estate in Winter Park, the first floor, to accept checks for people who are late paying their bills?
Right. I mean, that to me, and it's not that I'm being mean about people. What I'm saying is that people need to understand they would pay far less if they start looking at their time they spend, if they automated things. Now, maybe we as a community have to help people do that.
Sure.
And I will tell you this, when we set up that center not too long ago, because mm-hmm. I'd set up the center at Disney where we had all these mechanisms in place where if you were 5 minutes late, you had to pay this and all this stuff to pick up your child. Well, reality is you can't spend valuable people time on $5 because somebody's late picking up their child. You have to have all that automated. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, if we're believing that we're going to use our resources the best we can, because one of my other items is I'm not interested in hiring any more city staff, okay? I'm not interested in making our city staff larger. I'm not interested in having those kinds of services, because we've spent a lot of money on the idea of a new system that's supposed to help us.
Right.
Well, that new system that helps us still needs people, but not as many people. Okay, so here's my other big deal. When I walk by a city truck and I see two people sitting in the truck and one of them is sleeping, I go bananas. That was my nice word, okay? Because I know what message that sends to our public.
Right.
And I hear about it all the time, and I see it sometimes, and you do too.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I see those things and I think we need to send the message that we're lean and we are really working on providing the best things, and we can't have that ever happen. And it does happen. It just happened to me out for a walk 2 days ago or 3 days ago, right before I went on my trip. So
mm-hmm.
I just want us to know that because people are so valuable and because they're so costly, because when we sign on with people, we're signing on to those people to take care of them with a pension for a really long time. And because of that, it's the way it should be, but we can't have too much of that.
Well, I'm 100% behind you there. I think that we owe it to our residents who pay their taxes to have a performing staff. We owe it to our staff who is busting their humps, who are working.
Which are 99% of them.
Yeah, to, you know, and I think it's just a matter of, you know, communicating that to Michelle and Randy and making sure they understand how serious we take it, because it's the way I am with my staff. And I just look at them around a manager's meeting and I say, guys, if nine of us are rowing the boat and the tenth guy's just cruising along, you know, I would rather have that person out of the boat. The other nine people make more, and you know, or put a tenth in that's going to row with you. But
and you all are very, very much respond to anything I ever say, and I very much appreciate that. But I will tell you, this is the Sarah part of that. What happens to the people that aren't city commissioners or vice mayors when they come to you? Do they get the same amount of time that I get? And I don't want to be the person that because I'm this, I get this.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know when we had that gentleman who was in front of us the other day who came to talk, I always feel like that shouldn't be happening. Now, I realize there was an issue there. There are always going to be some odd people out. I know that. But we need a system where people feel heard and people, and I know we're visioning and we're doing all that for some of those reasons, but if you get as far as us to have to come in there and tell us that something happened, I'm thinking, wow.
I will say this, though, you know, for as much as I've seen and been around, our staff is awesome.
No question about it.
But I do think we just need to make sure that we all need to. I know I'm, you know, you and I are the lowest paid staff members in the city.
See, I don't, and I don't even see myself as getting paid.
Believe me, I don't either. Yeah, because so, I don't. I lose money at this.
I think we all do if you pay for your time, yeah.
But I think that, you know, we just need to make sure that we're all, everybody's performing. But I'm with you. I think that there's ways. We're doing things better, smarter, faster now, and I don't think there's a need to add to staff.
And we both feel the same way about vehicles, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
And I will tell you, it drives me nuts when I see a new vehicle on the road.
Now, and we have to approve buying one?
No, I know you and I and all of us know that those vehicles that they're replacing look good on the outside, but the engine may have 200,000 miles on it. You know, it's barely limping along. But it's still, just as a business owner, when I see one of our new companies, I'm like, I can't believe I got to buy a new truck. You know, it drives me nuts. So when I see a new city vehicle drive by, I go, I can't believe we just spent money on that. I know we need them.
No.
And I know Randy's aware of our
thing,
angst with it. So I think he does a pretty good job with it.
I know that he does, but it is one of those things that does great on me.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because goodness knows my spouse buys cars all the time. So it's not like I'm not used to it. But,
he does.
I just don't. Okay. All right. So here's my other couple things that I want us to think about. City boards, we've talked about, and we're waiting on something to come back to us. And so when I say we're waiting on something to come back to us, a couple of the other things that we've talked about in the past, and we've said, okay, we need to address this. Right now, we get a report from Randy every time we have a meeting that says these are the outstanding issues and this is where we are on them. And they stay on the list for a month or two after they've even been accomplished or something, and that's great.
I think they're supposed to go off once they're accomplished.
But most of those things are pretty much big building items and stuff like that. We bring up a lot of little things. Like one of the things that I've written down is, you know, I've talked a lot about a process in place that says anytime we're going to go out, whether it's for a lawyer or for lobbying or whatever it is, and we're RFPing something or RFQing something, we just need a process that says that happens every 3 years, every 5 years. And you all know that I ask about this from the lawyer standpoint simply because I think it's time for us to look at that. Not because I'm unhappy with Larry Brown. I just don't think you can keep somebody in place without some kind of mechanism that says there are other people out there. Mm-hmm. Because I know what happened when we talked about it is his price went down. It was really simple. And you know what? That's not necessarily bad, because we're spending a lot of money on city attorney fees, and that's not going to change in the future, it doesn't look like. So I want us to have a process, so it doesn't sound like Sarah's being the badass here, excuse me.
Well, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Didn't we say we were going to review it after
5 years?
Yeah, 5 years for attorney? That's 3 years.
Well, attorneys,
We haven't done anything with attorneys because you haven't brought us the report back yet.
Can you do me a favor? Yep. Can you provide the commission with a one-pager or two-pager that says all the contract services we have and how often what the set standard of review is? Yeah. And if there is not one, then we should agree on one as a commission. We can say attorneys, we agree 3 years. Is that good? Just put something in place.
We've done everything. Everything's on 5 years except for attorneys and
lobbying lobbyists. Lobbying for the state.
For you.
Right.
So the people that work for us
are
on 5 years max.
Okay.
So the people that, except, you know, if we're going to make an exception, we'll bring it to you, like garbage service, for example. Garbage companies have to have 7 years because it takes that much to amortize the trucks.
Sure.
So when we bring it to you, we'll say, we're going outside of our own rules because.
Okay.
But other than that, lobbyists and attorneys work directly for you.
And they're the only ones that don't have
They're the only ones that we don't set on a 5-year deal, 5 years or less.
And you already gave us that, and we asked for, well, how do other cities do it? And then you came back and said, it's all over the place because some cities do it this way, some cities do it that way. But we're still waiting on that report, aren't we?
So well, I think that it is all over the map, so we can just bring it up at the next commission meeting.
It's coming at, you know, you're getting the city attorney discussion at the next commission meeting.
So we can raise it
then. Oh, we are then. Okay, well, so let me tell you what that means, though. How do I know that? How do I know I'm getting the city attorney discussion at the next meeting? Is it somewhere in your plans, or do I have a picture that shows me I asked for this a while back? See, I don't know that.
I think where this is going, I think what Sarah's trying to say, and I agree with her, is we have a lot of, and you guys do an amazing job, because you pick up these little side comments that we have, right?
Yes.
Like, can you get us that report? But I think every commission meeting, there's probably a dozen of those little, what's going on here? And then we forget about them for the next 2 months, and then all of a sudden Sarah will sit here and say, hey, whatever happened with that?
Yeah, where is
that? And I think
maybe
that's in the city minutes or whatever it is. There just needs
no,
to be.
No, and not
the
city
commission,
minutes.
The commission requested these 10 things to be brought
up. Don't hide it in, not hide
no,
it, but it. Don't put in the city minutes.
No, I don't want the answer in the minutes.
Yeah.
I want the question so that next commission meeting we can look at it and go, do you have answers to these 10 things that we asked for?
Well, yeah, because right now we know where we stand on all those things that Randy's reporting on, because we have a report that shows them.
Yep.
We didn't used to have that, but we have that. So then we almost need another sub-report of those other items that are maybe not even his, but ours, where we're saying, what about this? And we talked about city boards, and I know that's going to come back to us. But I just don't want to lose those things. That's all.
Sarah's, you're a list person, which I think is good.
Well, I need it for myself, because I'll wake up in the nighttime and think, whatever happened to that?
I don't mean in a negative way. I think it's good. You do that, and I'm glad you showed this morning with your list. I think it's good to have.
So specific, can I just be specific for a second?
Yeah.
Specific to the city attorney and the lobbyist, because the state lobbyist is coming back 2 weeks from now. It was coming back on this meeting. We've now moved the city attorney up, and then the state lobbyist is going to come back on July 27th.
So when you say it's going to come back, what does that mean?
It's going to come on the commission agenda.
As what?
As a question.
Okay.
Do you want to issue an RFP? Do you want to continue services? You know, you're getting the question. Do you
All right.
Ready
okay.
To
that's what I want. I don't want the contract for the same people to come back. I want us to... Okay.
No, you're getting the choice.
Okay.
But I think maybe included in there, what I'm hearing is we should recommend a policy that says city attorney gets reviewed every 5 years, and then you guys can up or down that. Am I?
Well, I do, because I think there's a reason we have 5 years on the rest of them. Okay. And whether we keep the same people or not, I don't need to be the only one out there asking for it and people looking at me like, what's wrong with you because you don't like these people. I need it to be a process in place that says, I mean, I get evaluated every year, okay, and I've been working a long time, and I think there is that we have not done our due diligence if we don't do that.
And I would even say 3 years for the city attorney. I mean, that's basically one election cycle.
So we'll make that as one of the questions that gets
added.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think
so
with the lobbyists,
do you want an RFP? Do you want to set a term? You
know, okay.
Like
that's
and
those.
The lobbyists too.
Okay.
And then we'll put that in our if it's agreed upon, we can.
And what that does too is that stops us sporadic. If you're having a bad year with the attorney, you're having one, you know, you may have had a run in the lobbies, didn't get your what. At least it's not. When are we reviewing these guys? I mean, we'll know they're up. And if you want to ask for it earlier, you can. But just put something on the standard.
Mm-hmm. So we have an insurance. We have a lot of things. The other thing I'd love for us to be able to put on there are all the things that we already have contracts with. So I think if you share that with us,
I think that
list is important. Yeah. Okay, that's all. That's great.
Yeah, we have that list, I think. But yes, we'll do that.
Thank you.
All right. And then can I speak about city boards? And I think that's on our agenda also, right? How all that works. When I got home and I was reading about walkability in the paper and that city board, and I realized that our city boards may not be going to the paper and asking for this, or some of them may, but I also realized that reason for that is part of the reason for that is we're not asking for it, okay? As a city commission, if we have a board going out to the paper to state their case, why didn't they come to us first, okay? Why don't we hear this first? And so we really need to get a handle on that, because in the last however bit of time, historical, walkability, there's been a number of boards that have had the voice for whatever reason of somebody writing about what they think we should do in our city, and we don't even know it
until
I read it in the paper.
And it could be counter to what we're working on too.
It and oftentimes is.
Yeah.
And we need those somehow or another, we need that structuring of city boards. I mean, I've said for a long time, I want to know what they're doing because I know they're important to how we work.
I agree with you on this. I think one of the things we need, Michelle, is, and I think to me this is where this lies, is we need a staff liaison who's not just taking notes from the board and bringing them back to you guys, but who is fairly aware of what's going on and helps direct the board. I mean, again, this historic Prez thing, I think, got way offline into what we're, and I you know how disappointed I am with that. But also with this walkability thing, I mean, as we the city are going down one path to try to see if we can secure that right of way for the benefit of all the businesses and all the people, and it would be open to have somebody contact the press and start doing a story on a rails to trails and putting pressure on them, which puts additional pressure on the city to answer reporters' questions when we're trying to work with DOT to get something from the city. It's like we're working at counter odds.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, if staff just said, I think the city's working on something, it may not be exactly what you guys are looking for, but if these guys are appointed by us to help us and to help the citizens of Winter Park, I think we should be more in sync. And I think we should be driving the train, not them.
Yeah, and so Randy's completely recognized that, and it's my assignment that starts as soon as the budget's over, and my first step is going to be to train staff liaisons.
Okay.
So internally train our own staff better and help kind of prepare them to deal with the boards better. And I'll probably do that a combination of myself, and then I know that UCF offers some training to citizen board members. So we might bring UCF in to supplement. That's step one. Then step two, we're going to bring some sort of a council of chairs or something and get all the chairs of the various boards together and talk about kind of how to deal with press issues, how to deal with issues related to capital projects and other initiatives the city's working on so that we don't have that counterproductive effort going, so that they can become more aware. And then the third thing that we're talking about doing is not putting it on your agenda for approval, but putting it on your agenda to receive their board minutes, just so that you receive them, so that you have them available to you, readily accessible.
Is there a standard right now for how they talk to the press? Because, I mean, as I said, they do represent the city of Winter Park, and we want their opinions, but for them to go out, I mean, right now, normally the commission, every time we get a call from somebody directly at the press, I call Clarissa.
Yeah.
Go, what's going on with this? And, you know, she'll give me the background. This guy's trying to get this, that. I don't think the guys on the board either understand how it all works, and, you know, they have their own
agenda. We've never had it before. We've never had the press going directly to, like, advisory board members. So they need that training. They need that training that says, when the press contacts you, you know, please, first step, contact city.
Yeah, and I want to be very clear, too. We're not trying to limit their First Amendment rights, but if you represent the city, same with the company. If somebody in my company goes and talks to the press, I'm going to say, guys, we can talk about what this is about the company. It's not about you. If you go out and you want to talk to the press about something that's happening somewhere else that's not really company related, that's fine. But if you're coming out there as a company spokesman, and that's what it looks like. You know, we have people
so we
from
need
the board.
To do that training. Yeah. We recognize we do that training with the commission as commissioners when you come on board. We give that training, but we've never had it happen before where we've had press going directly to advisory boards, or we've had advisory boards
going to the
out
press.
Or going to the press. And so, you know, all that training needs to occur, and it starts like mid-July. As soon as we get this budget out, that's my next thing to start really working on, because it's important. It's really
and we
important.
Can help too. I'm happy to go speak at any of them, and I'm sure Sarah is too. And it might be better coming from Sarah too. She's got a lot of training with lobbyists and all that, and you know how to deal with the press. So,
yeah, just say no.
Right. Well, it's usually the best idea.
Absolutely.
You know.
Well, and everybody believes that they're going to be able to handle it, and everybody believes it's going to be different with them, and it very seldom is.
Yeah.
And so then, but my other thing is I read every single one of those reports that came in when the people on the boards did evaluations, and so many of them said, we don't really know what the city commission wants. So that was a strong message to me, which was, you know, we need to have something where we're working together with boards. So we need a night or a day that says, before you start your work this year, here's our strategic plan. Our goals.
I agree.
This.
It's kind of what I said too with this historic press thing.
Yeah.
Now looking back on it, I never would have given them any direction regarding a change to an ordinance. I don't think that's that board's responsibility. They are not set up to write ordinances. That's just not what those slots are. I mean, other boards like P&Z, they're set up to write an ordinance. They get it. They're in ordinances day in and day out. The Historic Preservation Board, those guys are not in ordinances.
Well,
they're
and
architects.
P&Z has consultation from an attorney available.
Yeah, I think it could have the ordinance should have probably started in house, and then we could have talked about it from anyway. I think to Sarah's point, they are not sure what direction they're getting from us, and we need to be more clear.
We read those evaluations too, and we went out this year and did a little budget presentation to all the boards that have an impact on the CIP or have projects that they're trying to get. And so we went out and gave a little budget presentation to them, and we specifically talked about, here's what your board's looking for, but let's talk about how your board fits into the bigger picture.
Right.
And what else is going on in our city? And from there, we recognize that there's a need to do that on a bigger scale, but we're really going to try and get in front of that next year after the visioning's done.
Okay.
Because we're going to let the visioning play out and then go back to the boards and talk about how their piece fits into the vision, budget, everything. So next year we'll do that too.
I mean, they should all, they're cogs on this wheel. And they all need to make sure that they're, you know, that they're all working together synergistically with us.
And their staff liaison needs to be better trained. So their staff liaison can kind of manage the expectation, help manage what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, we got it.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's all I have. Now, I have these little tiny specific things, like I really do want to heat Katie Way Pool because that's a community that's
spent a long
time. Yeah,
give me those little specific ones, too.
I would definitely want to – I mean, I know that we have a partnership with the Y. The Y is running that pool for us, but that pool needs to be heated. It's just a real simple thing, and we ought to do it. Mm-hmm. We ought to be able to do it. I have a deal about the city assets as a – community person. What are our city assets? Where are they? What piece of property? Blake Yard is still here. This is over here. What does that look like? We've done a great job. I've seen the map, but what do we want for city assets? As a city commission, are we sitting here saying we want something in this piece of town or that part of town, or do we want our city assets to work for us? I mean, how do we see that? Because that begins to answer the question that somebody like Commissioner Cooper has, is which is, we shouldn't sell this or we should sell this. And I'm more of a, our city assets need to work for our city. So wherever they are and whatever they are, I think we have to make sure we have some kind of agreement on that.
Listen, I'm with you, Sarah, and that goes back to what I was saying regarding the Civic Center Library. I just take it back to the applesauce. If I'm running an applesauce factory, you go to any private business, they're running that factory 24/7. If you've got an asset, it's got to be producing. It can't just sit there.
Right.
And you take it offline 2 weeks a year, and you clean the darn thing, and then you get it back up and running and cranking. And that's the way I feel, too, about our trucks. I feel that way about these buildings. When I walk in a building and I see a building that's empty and there's nobody in it, like, what? Why do we have 20,000 square feet of hallways? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
And I know some people are out during the day working. I get it. But when they come back, do we need that much space for everybody? Or can't we just put everybody in a cubicle, you know, to work, to do that, to come in and fill out your reports and do whatever? And I'm not trying to – I want to make sure our staff has what they need to perform. But why do we have all this valuable list of assets sitting there non-performing? I mean, they need to be productive assets. So I'm 100% with
you. And the way people work now is so different from
completely
the way
different
they used to work. So we have to keep that in mind, that there won't need to be an office for everybody
A conference room.
Or a conference room.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'll hit the one that you won't agree with probably.
Sure.
But for ever since I've been here, we've had a goal of 30% of our budget in reserves. And I remember the first year I said, okay, 30% is big, because we had been to a meeting, you and I went to, when we first got elected, and they talked about reserves, and they said 20% is really ample plenty, and 25 is just at the top, and 30 is over the top. And that's really how I feel. Sarah feels like 30%. First of all, we've never reached the goal. If you establish a goal that you can't reach, then that should tell you something. And secondly, is it the best use of our budget and our money to aim for something that we may not actually need? Okay? And I know Ken was always into the 30%, and Ken kept us in such a great budget status. I will tell you, I am very grateful that his leadership kept us where we are today. Yeah. And I would never want to slip below 25%. But I would like to make that our goal, to achieve that goal, and to make sure that it is our base. Okay? And I don't want to keep reaching for a goal. I mean, who's going to change it to 40%? And so 25% from all accounting purposes is a very sound, if not over sound, practice.
What is each percentage point, Michelle? I can't remember.
How much money does it turn into?
Oh, it's like $13 million right now, and it's at like 26%.
Okay, so it's a couple hundred grand.
So it's not that much. I just want us to achieve our goals. And
I'm kind of with you, actually, on this, Sarah. But I think if we set the goal 30 and we stay between 25 and 30, because we're going to have years, we're going to have to dip into it. I just don't feel we should feel guilty if we have to dip into it.
Okay. Well, if that's the way we operate, that's fine. But I think we need an understanding that that is the way we operate.
I mean, the golf course. We may have to dip into it and put some money to the golf course. I'm just using it as an example. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm fully supportive of what they're – but I'm saying if we have to give 500, if they raise $1 million and we put 500 into it and we dip from 26% or 27% to 26%, I'm okay with that. But keeping the goal of 30 keeps us on our toes, because what's going to happen is if we set the goal of 25, then if we get to 23, are we going to be, we're almost at our goal. You know what I mean?
All right. Well,
I don't think you and I look at
goal range.
Well,
maybe that's a better description of it, because goals are important, but goals should not be unreachable. Because we've done a good job. We have not increased our taxes, and I don't have any intention of doing that, other than we're looking at what's going to happen with the Library Civic Center. That's going to increase taxes.
But if your grades, to my educator friend, if your grades, you're always shooting for 100% and you get a 96, you're still going to be pretty happy with 96.
You're going to get it. You're still going to get an A.
And that's what I feel about 25%, 30%,
All right. All right, so
the budget is coming. That would be a good time to talk about that policy decision, if that's something that you really
want to. Well, I don't want to make it sound like Sarah's trying to, dumb down our budget. I really don't. So I think if you think of it as a budget range, that satisfies me, because I want to achieve our goals. I don't think you should have goals that you can't achieve. And 30% has obviously been unachievable because we haven't reached it yet. So 25%, yes, we stay between 25 and 30. I'm happy with that. Report card. I mean, that to me is the other thing. The thing that we sent out last year that had the check marks on it,
great.
Which was a perfect, wasn't it? It was a perfect picture, because people know what report card means, good, bad, or indifferent. I want us to make sure that that's on our website. So I'm going to speak to our website now. First of all,
I just tell you how funny that was, too?
Okay.
I didn't even know the thing was coming out.
I thought you did it for the campaign.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's amazing how much control I have over things.
Yeah, I knew you did that. I thought it was great. It was brilliant.
It was awesome.
Y'all did a great job, and I want us to keep that. But I want that to be somewhere when people come to the city of Winter Park, they see, look at them, look at what they're doing, because it tells the story. And I want our story to be told on our website, because they're still where people are going. And I don't know if it's just Sarah, but I just hate that black background, okay? It just gets caught up in the back of it's just not inviting to me, for whatever it's worth. And I know we have brilliant people who put this together, but I don't come to our website and see that black background and think, oh, where can I go now? I come there and think, what died? Okay? So that's what black does. It sends you that message. And I just want us to look at the website as the first place people see the city of Winter Park. And I want it to say, look at how great we're doing. We've done a great job with it. It's there, but
I
know.
And so it frustrates me, too. And there's a reason that 100 years ago, as far spread and as limited as communications were, everybody in the city kind of knew what was happening in the city, because they post it in one place. They post it in City Hall and say, here's basically what's happening. And that was the one place to get information. And we've all gotten lazy, and we get snippets of information, and we want information delivered to us exactly what we want to our phones these days. I think we're just getting – I've talked to Clarissa, and this is no secret, but I've talked to everybody. I think we communicate too many ways, so people feel like – it's kind of like a conversation when everybody around the table is talking at once, and all the information is being delivered, but nobody's walking away with any information because there's just too much noise. And I think if the website became our primary and maybe our only real way that we communicate outbound, then people would stop. Where do I find this? How do I know about this? You go to the website. If the answer is always you go to the website, then guess what? People stop asking, and they just go to the website. And if the website can be really an effective means of communications and people just know what's happening with the Parks Department or what's happening, is there a 4th of July celebration or what's happening with our lakes? And rather than writing the park press, because I literally get something every 2 weeks to write. And it, you know, it's
I don't know how you
thing.
Do that. Yeah.
And Clarissa and Craig are great. But at the same time, I think it's even harder on them. They're doing all these little things instead of just popping everything on the website saying, this is where you go. You want to know what's going on in City Hall? Website.
Yeah.
And if the website could be more manageable and more maneuverable, then it's and more accessible so people get information out of it easier, I'd be very happy.
Well, I don't have any reason to ever get a bill in my U.S. mail for my power and water. I have no reason at all to get that. Sorry, because it's going to come directly out of this. And I don't need the little picture that says who's doing what when. I just don't need that.
The calendar. I pull the bill out. I pull the bill out. That's all I look at.
Yeah,
I'm sure
that's all I look at. So just know that I bet you I'm not any different than anybody else. Okay, a couple more things.
Yeah.
Do we have a real-life succession plan in place for some of our people that maybe like Brett Raley?
Police, fire, and electric.
Police,
and
fire,
parks.
Electric, yeah, parks. Those are all people that are reaching at some point or another the end of their career, and these are not roles you can replace easily.
I think what you need to do is set up an individual meeting with Randy and talk to him about what he's got laid out. He and I have chatted around the outsides, and we've talked about each one specifically, but we really haven't had. But I think you should do it because I'm gonna do it. And
they're in various levels.
Yeah.
You know, each department has a various. You know, they're all kind of at different places. There's some that were ready to pull the trigger. They're good ideas, ready to go.
Okay.
There's some that we're forming. There's some that we're building. I mean, it's
well, as long as you are addressing it, and then I will do that and find out
because I think
what
you need
are.
To be comfortable with it as I do, as
I
every
do.
Commission member mm-hmm. does need to be comfortable with it because it's going to affect how we view Randy as the manager of that those departments. So
and I know Randy's
important.
Getting ready to roll out some ideas regarding electric because, you know, electric's coming to an end quick.
It is, and that's a big deal.
It
it's
is a big
deal.
A it is a big deal.
So I'm going to tell you my big deal about the power company, okay?
Okay.
I just love this. I'm able to come here and tell you all the things that bug me, okay? It really bugs me that we have people who have not hooked up to the undergrounding. It bugs me that as a community, we have sat back and said, okay, it's okay for people. Peer pressure is going to eventually require them to do it, and I got all of that. Because nobody also wants to be the mean son of a gun who pulls the trigger and says, you got to do it. So I just think you make it cost more money to keep an electric pole up than you do to put it under the, you know, to hook up to it. Because bottom line is, if we're going to spend the kind of money we have committed to spend in this community to make sure everything's underground, I don't want to be driving by a neighborhood and have somebody still have a pole up. I'm sorry, but that defeats what we intended to do. So whenever that's going to happen, I fully anticipate we are going to have to make some kind of a policy
incentive.
About it. Yes.
So that's Jerry's final policy responsibility. You know, we're anticipating using Jerry on a consulting basis here and there to work on the power piece. But as a full-time staff member, the final policy piece that he has to bring to you all before we're going to let him retire is the policy piece that addresses how do we get the rest of these folks underground. And he's working on that right now.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that it does not bother me to have to make that decision. Because when I weigh it, and I can sit here and say, this is how much money we've spent as a community, and this is what we have as a result of it, I can't anyway, in any stretch of the imagination, allow people to not sign up. It's just that simple.
Well, I think there's ways to do that, and I think... I agree with you. I'm not sure what the best mechanism is to pull it, but I'm with you. We got to get them under.
I actually think the best strategy is coming at it from multiple fronts.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you're gonna trigger people.
New development.
You're gonna trigger it on new development. You could potentially trigger it on home sale.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
When your house transacts, no matter who you are, before you can, you know, it has a lien or whatever. You know, you can trigger that. You can put incentives. You can raise the cost to provide overhead service. I mean, there's multiple
fronts. You can make sure that it costs more to hook up with a power line than it does to go underground, and that pretty much takes care of it.
There's multiple fronts.
Okay,
just know
that that's one of those things that I understand why we don't do it right up front. Okay, a couple more because our time is getting short here, and I'll just tell you what they are. So Rollins is to me one of the greatest assets of our city. It always has been. As I walked by there today, I saw they had 8 buses that are those little buses that they use to transport their teams of students and people. And I don't know how that can continue to be something we do together, but Rollins to me is part of what makes Winter Park great. It's not, it would not be what it is, and we would not be what we are without each other. We need to make sure that that is our push, because I still hear from people who are fussing about Rollins buying too much property. And the bottom line of it is we are all in this world together, and the more we do with a college campus, in my mind, the better off we are as a community. So I am a very pro-Rollins person. Of course, I got my master's there. I have a child who went there for 2 degrees. So I'm a pro-Rollins person because I see what it does to our community.
Well, and you know, a couple of years ago when I got on the commission, when you and I got on the commission, I called them and said, who's speaking at your matriculation ceremony? And they said, well, nobody ever does. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. We've got 1,500 new residents coming to Winter Park and nobody's welcoming them. So we started there. I think you're right, but I think they also, we need to continue that communication between our department and theirs, and they need to start doing more outbound stuff, telling people, we got a big job as it is, telling people how valuable we are to the community.
Right.
I'm with you, and we can help them, but I think they need to do some outbound marketing to the city, telling people how great they are to the city, because I'm a supporter too, but,
Well, why don't we have a town and gown board? Okay, I mean, that's the kind of thing that puts it straight up in front of us. A town and gown board then says, this is the kind of thing.
I just hate all these boards. Maybe there's a quarterly meeting between our communication department and theirs.
And maybe that's all it takes. But it does give it the kind of emphasis, okay? Mm-hmm. There's nothing that says we can't create a new board, because goodness knows we've got lots of them, and they do a lot of work for us. The more we have people working on that, the less we're going to have people, hopefully, that are fussing about it. That's all. Okay. Okay. So speaking of things people are going to fuss about. Okay. Hospital notice that just came out the day before I left on my trip. And I noticed right on the bottom of it, it said, as approved by the City Commission in 2004. And I do know that we have had some discussions about whether or not that was really approved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to come back on us. So we need to have that discussion. We just need a fair discussion that says, hospital, what were you approved to do? Now, you do know I'm fully aware that I own property over there, and so I'll tell you right now, I do care. I remember when it first came out, because I do own property over there, I was very concerned about what it was going to look like and be like, and I'm over there all the time, so I probably live closer to that than anybody else that sits on the commission. Well, I know I do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to always care about that and that Brookshire across Lakemont community.
Sure.
So I just want us to have, I don't want us to ignore it. I want us to have a conversation. I want us to, if possible, get on the same page, but not just say something when, in fact, I don't know what it is.
I think what you're getting to is something I said too, and I think we need to be ahead of problems. There is a group in this city who takes every opportunity to turn a discussion into, you know, a political opportunity. And I think that, you know, whether this is exactly what they are approved for, the language was approved and it was certainly codified, but they used different diagrams. And again, because buildings change, because
all that stuff. Yeah.
But I'm saying, I agree with you. We need to get out in front of this one because it's going to come up. So.
Okay, so now let's go to garbage. I only have 2 more on my list, and I got 4 minutes to finish. So I know garbage is going to be a big deal. I know it's going to be coming up. I know it's going to be something that we're all faced with and look at. Again, I just want us to make sure that we have a plan in place so that we don't have that fall apart,
Michelle,
for any reason.
Sarah and I were in Tallahassee, and we met up with some people, and they said that they had there was a contract that could be piggybacked. Did you guys look at that? School board?
Oh, the school board, yes. But the school board doesn't have residential garbage service, so you can't piggyback. I mean, we could piggyback the commercial piece potentially, but we can't piggyback the biggest piece, which is household trust.
Well, I think it set some parameters, though. I think the pricing they got set some parameters for us that perhaps we can leverage in our negotiations.
We've actually started the process of putting a bid out for the garbage service. Yeah, it's time to put a bid out.
I like them. I think those guys have done a decent job.
Oh, they have done a good job. And, you know, if they come back, we'd be very satisfied with them coming back. But we need to restructure a good piece of the commercial, and we need to do a kind of a major restructure on the way that we handle roll-off, which is, roll-off is new.
I know. We know that. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. So we're working on the restructuring of it now, and then it'll go out to bid. It's scheduled to be changed April of 16 if we make a change. So we've got to have a decision probably by December, January.
Okay.
So that's actively going right now.
And then CRA. Most people, and I can speak because people will say to me, if I mention something about CRA, they'll say, now what is a CRA? Now why do you have a CRA? And nobody understands the CRA. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but they don't. So we still need a little more education as far as that goes when it comes to how we budget and how that works, because people don't get it. And I didn't get it before I came on the board and began to learn about it.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
During the campaign, I thought those little videos that I did with my daughter were pretty effective, just communicating what seems to be a complex idea into a very simple thing. I mean, it was literally PowerPoint. It was her doing voiceover, and a 10th grader at Trinity put the whole thing together. I think
and
something like that
better.
To explain the CRA. get the younger people involved. Right. Something like that. And I could script the thing and work with. I mean, I can do that myself.
Well, would you be willing to do that? Because I really think that would do a service. Now, there may not be that many people who use it, but that stuff can go viral.
Well,
it can go on YouTube and all kinds of stuff.
Because I'm with you. I don't think people, with the whole baseball stadium idea, people didn't understand that we were getting like $15 million extra into the CRA to pay for city services. And, you know, people just came out. All they thought it was about was a garage, which was just...
But that's some of that's our fault, okay?
I think
it's
a lot
our
of it
fault because we weren't ahead of it. So I think that's... I know our time's right now about ready to be up.
We have budgeted some money next year so that we can make some of those little mini videos. So that's part of the budget.
Well, I'd love to see our mayor do that.
But I think it'd be cool to do it if we can.
Yes, absolutely.
Volunteers. I mean, we don't have to do it through budgeted production.
Right.
I mean, we could do it through those kind of...
That's cheap. I mean, and I think it was pretty effective.
Sure.
So.
Probably cost us a pizza party.
Yeah.
that would be great. And I don't know that we want to talk any more about the Library and Civic Center because we had the work session last week. It sounds like we're on the right track with where we're going with that. So those are all my things. I think as a city, first of all, I love the way our meetings work. You keep us on time. You keep us on task. You've got a good schedule. All that's what we need to continue doing. So people, I find that things people want to know is they just want to know what to expect.
Yeah.
And they just don't like the unknown.
Yeah.
And so if they know what's going to happen and they know how it's going to happen, then they're content and they're happy. And I don't feel the discontent. I think the visioning is on the road to help us do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to have outside people who want to fuss about something that we're never going to make happy. So we understand that.
Yeah.
But we also know that we look in the mirror every day.
Yeah.
And if we can look in the mirror every day and say we're doing the best job we can do, I wish that people knew as much as I know about our city so that they would not be as... you have people stand up or send you emails that have these great ideas, but you know they're impossible.
Yeah.
And so what do you do with that?
I think that there's always going to be a little bit of angst, but I think in general what I'm hearing from most people is, you know, everything sounds like it's running smoothly. There's not as much, you know, tension, and so I'm happy with that.
Well, that's your leadership style, and that's very nice to have.
I think we're all working together really well. There's a couple things that I wanted to touch on with you.
I spent all my time.
No. I think the Civic Center and the library, I am happy where we ended up there. I think Tom and I are in different places, as he seems to be the one pushing for the corner. I think that adds, and we'll wait and see where this whole thing flushes out. I'm very open to the discussion on it. But I, as I said to him, and he picked up and ran with it, I want this project to feel like it's of the park and not...
I love that term,
you know,
of the park.
And it needs... And that's where I think the Civic Center is of the park. I don't think that darn parking lot is, but I think the Civic Center is of the park right now. And that is where the most land is currently on that site, right where that Civic Center is. With the corner where we've got to fill in some lake, and it feels like it's right out there in your face on the corner, and you know. But anyway, I think that's the only thing I'm gonna try to that I like about it. Parks, Sarah, to me, our facilities, and I know we're looking to do more with that this year. Our facilities really need some upgrades. We've got some beautiful, especially the passive parks are great, but some of our active parks and the bathrooms and all that, I'm really gonna, you know, make that a priority for me, because I have families and I see them every day, and they come up to me and they say that bathroom was closed again.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I've had city staff, senior city staff's wives say to me, or say to their husbands, I won't go to the bathroom with those things.
Yeah.
And that should be, you know, we should all be a little bit disappointed in that. And I keep saying, you know, to me, Rollins put a new, they're holding us to a higher standard with the Alphont. That is what we should hold ourselves to, with our civic structures, with all these things. We should ask for that kind of quality. And I'm not saying that something going on in the central compound's got to look like the Alphont, but when you go into the central compound, you should feel, well, this is pretty nice. I mean, trees, you know, landscape nicely. Everything should just have that. And I think City Hall, with the upgrade, it looks a lot better. I just think we need to start expecting that. And down to bathrooms and parks. I think
especially
it should be,
bathrooms especially, and parks.
Yeah, right, because that's where you're going to be. And then one other thing, workforce housing. I think that I do feel like there is a disconnect, and some have tried to divide the city into, well, you don't even live here, to some of our staff. And nothing disappoints me more than to have our staff who spend, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours a day out there working for us to feel like they're outsiders. And I think that there's an opportunity with the way we've structured some of the financing. So rather than do affordable housing, which, again, we are over our complement for the region, why don't we start directing that to workforce housing, whether it's police officers, firemen, or young families getting started in the city? Can we not go in and buy places and put in new homes? And we can open it up. I would love to open it up to a competition, get a couple young architects. You know, can you donate your services? Let's go into a lottery. Pick one of you guys to put up a new house, because I want the houses to also look great. I don't want them to be those last houses that we approved that were rolled off the back of a trailer. That's not the way to increase.
Yeah.
You know, that's
they're
not
relocatables.
Yeah, that's not going to help a community redevelop. But I think, or even increase. I think if we can get a couple young architects to say, yeah, I'll donate my services and I'll get a, you know, we can get some press behind it, that this young architect has just designed a new 2,500 square foot home or 2,000 square foot home for affordable housing, for workforce housing in Winter Park. And we have some, I think we still own some properties over on the west side. Maybe we start putting in some workforce housing there and get some of these policemen to live in that community.
Mm-hmm.
Get some of these, you know, people who come into, who work in City Hall to live in that community. So that we're starting to tie that together. So there's no longer this, well, you don't even live in the city of Winter Park. I hate that.
Well, anybody who works here, anybody who comes here has as much vested right. Sorry, people who say you don't pay taxes, that's
you do everything. I started the whole thing. These are not non-residents. These are our guests.
Right.
And I was always raised that way. When people come to your house, they are your guests. They're not visitors. They're not non-residents to your house. And they make
the city work. Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
You know, in education, there are some great examples of how that's happened with teachers,
where
they have put that out there. And so teachers were able to go and afford to live in a community because they got a break on their housing for the first 5 years or whatever it was. There's all kinds of ways you can structure that.
Well, and I think it's great for staff. I think it's great for the city. So, you know, and especially.
Well, I would definitely support any of that. Anything else that I didn't take up all our time on?
Goodness gracious, you had a lot of things. And I think, as I said all along, I'm with you on, I think 100% of it, I'm with you. We may have different depths of where we're on with it, but I think there's a lot of things in there that I'm with. Succession, all these things, really. Succession planning, the quarterly meetings, I mean, all this stuff is great. Again, I know that you and I went to Tallahassee, and just the conversations with some lobbyists up there have helped. And people don't realize that. And I think that, you know, you're the other person on the commission that, with more experience than I, frankly, in that area, that can go and have these conversations. And it's not just pass the vice mayor thing around to make it everybody
you
happy.
You mean it doesn't mean anything?
And I don't think Greg really meant that. I don't think he knew what he was saying. But I appreciate you
putting me in as vice mayor, because I do honor it.
But it's important to us too. Yeah. It's not just a flippant little thing. I mean, it's, you know, you represent us, and you have. I don't think people will understand specifically the work you've done in a couple months once some of this stuff, you know, comes to fruition. But I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, dear.
Thank you.
I think we're doing great as a city. I know I wouldn't live anywhere else. That ought to be exactly what most people feel, and that's what, how they
but I'm with you too. The first thing you said was about the people, and I've always said that. Yeah. And you know that during the campaign, it wasn't, I mean, you know, people come up and complain about brick streets and trees, and it's like, there's not a, I wouldn't trade a tree for a person in the city. Right. And
yeah,
so
when Nancy came up with trying to smooth that old Winter Park Road, it's always funny to me because I hate that road too. I hate driving on it.
Yeah.
But I also realize that was it does probably what it was designed to do, and that is slow the traffic down. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not about to go spend more resources to smooth out a brick road. I'm sorry.
I think
just
it's a conversation for when that road needs to be replaced. I mean, I like the brick roads. Some of them are smooth. Some of them are not smooth. But the people, back to the people. It's the people. And it's the people in the city, and it's a diverse city. It's not just people who've been here for 40 years. One of the things that I loved was when I came here, I was accepted by generations of people who've been here for generations. And, you know, and there is a small group who says, well, you're brand new and you shouldn't be able to do anything. They won't say it publicly. They have said it publicly, but they don't say it anymore. But there's... We have people coming into this community every day, and that we don't make them feel like outsiders. You know, we make them.
Oh, that's my last one. Wait, I was at an airport not too long ago. This is really true. I was at an airport, and it was Charlotte Airport, and I must have had 25 people say to me, "Welcome to Charlotte. Welcome to Charlotte. Welcome to Charlotte." Between one plane and another plane, and I thought, wonder if they're having a contest to see who can say it the most or what it is, because. What a great thing just to say, welcome to Winter Park. Yeah. Welcome to Winter Park. And I'd like to say that to people. Yeah. Welcome to Winter Park. And I don't always hear that.
Yeah.
And yet we should be welcoming people to our town.
Yeah. Well, that's the Rollins thing. I think at the hotels we can do something at the Alphonse where there's a welcome from City Hall.
Well, what about Park Avenue? Welcome to Winter Park.
Yeah.
Hey, did they do the deal last on July the 4th is the new thing open, what do you call it?
The kiosk?
Yeah, the kiosk.
I saw them just working on it today. I came down Park Avenue.
Is it not open yet? It was supposed to be unveiled at the July the 4th picnic. Is that my dream?
I think what I saw them working on was the kiosk. It was right by the crosswalk there.
Yeah. I don't think they unveiled it.
Oh, they didn't? Okay, didn't I think that?
I don't remember.
Am I dreaming that? Okay, well, I'm going to walk over there in a minute and see it.
It might be close at this point, but I don't think
okay, it's not up yet. Okay. Well,
Cindy,
those little
Michelle,
things.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate
thank you.
Eric, Sarah, thank you.
Thank you.
Always.